I'm told that those of us who aren't white, a growing share of Americans, can take heart in knowing that our maltreatment is being discussed at all. This is akin to a cruel warden demanding extra pay for services rendered. Those who live with the myriad consequences of inequality are at this point unlikely to be impressed by mildly uncomfortable chatter about race in America. Many are, quite frankly, already busy finding meaning in the American creed, creating new possibilities and erecting workarounds with the ingenuity and grit that have sustained them thus far. And as was evident in last summer's protests and the fall's election returns, Americans, but particularly black Americans, have and will put in work to make a democracy of equals real. The situation reminds me of the first time I was called the N-word to my face. Far from the worst moment that being black in America has brought me, but an instructive one. A few months before I began kindergarten, my parents emerged triumphant from their battle with banks, real estate agents, and the opportunities available to black people in the U.S. labor market. They bought their first home in a North Texas suburb so new that a wrong turn meant driving on a dirt road. My parents grew up in the Jim Crow South. They knew how scary so-called economic anxiety can get when one group's stranglehold on privilege ends, so they didn't expect things to be easy in the new neighborhood. What mattered to me at the time, my sister and I quickly found friends. There were three white girls next door and a black and white biracial brother and sister opposite us in the cul-de-sac. When a new boy showed up, Chad, tow-headed and in tube socks, we were glad to include him. He was one more person to make the day's checkers tournament interesting and one more contender in our bike races to the end of the street and back. But when Chad lost, Chad got mad. Standing near the curb outside our house, he leaped off his bike after a race and said it. He was sick of playing with stupid niggers.